This is Taking Stock with Pim Fox on Bloomberg Radio.
Welcome. All right, let's focus on what's going on in the railroad industry with an expert. We have Satish Jindal of SJ Consulting. Satish, welcome to the program.
My pleasure.
Satish, explain what's going on in the world of railroads right now, given the context, right, that we've got Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway buying Burlington Northern Santa Fe. So that becomes a privately held company. You can't own the stock there anymore. So what's an investor to do?
Well, they can buy Union Pacific.
Is that the only alternative if you want a big Western railroad?
If you want to be on the West, you don't have any other alternatives but just them.
And what's the state of operations in the West? I mean, Powder River Basin in Wyoming, a lot of coal. And what about what's going on in out of California and trade?
Well, you know, the international container traffic in November and December seemed to be doing better than they did in the early part of the year in 2009 compared to 2008. So in that context, the rails are seeing some benefit of that international traffic, and that is reflected in even the numbers that they report. And there is a 5% increase in the fourth quarter compared to the fourth quarter last year.
And this has to do with actual intermodal trade shipments.
That's right.
So what about in the coal business? How about coal loadings?
Coal is down almost all the others compared to a year ago are down. However, on a sequential basis compared to third quarter, there is an increase in energy, which includes coal, agriculture, even automotive, which has been a great area for them. They have a 50-some percent increase in Q4 over Q3, and they attribute a lot of that to the cash for clunkers, which has helped the rails.
What about pricing? Have the railroads been able to maintain their prices?
You know, this is the beautiful part of the railroads. That's why I like this sector, is that their year-over-year in all sectors, and collectively, they're down 16% in terms of their car loads. But the pricing is up anywhere from 3 to 4%.
How'd they do that? Did they just pull capacity out of the system like the airlines?
Well, they have a very good discipline. They've taken locomotives and cars and parked them in places that don't interfere with their operations. So therefore, they have managed the capacity to match the reduced demand.
So they've been able to maintain pricing even though volume has declined. So in your estimates, do you think that we've stabilized in the railroad industry?
Yes, and I think railroad executives are of the opinion that for the kind of business they handle in terms of automotive, in terms of agriculture, in terms of intermodal, they think the bottom has come and passed and they should be sustaining that or only getting better.
All right, we're going to continue the conversation. We've got more with Satish Jindal of SJ Consulting talking about the world of transportation. We'll find out what is the future of YRC, the trucking company. Will they avoid bankruptcy? Will they get all the note holders to sign on to a new deal? We'll find out. This is Taking Stock on Bloomberg. We're talking about transportation. My guest is Satish Jindal, expert in the world of transport for SJ Consulting. Satish, let's turn to the trucking industry right now. We're going to talk about YRC worldwide. I want to get into the details, but give me the backdrop for the trucking business right now. What's the business like?
Well, the volumes or the demand, as one would look at it, are not there. The industry has not managed the capacity to match that reduction in demand the way the railroads have, we just talked earlier. And as a result, there is a lot of excess capacity. And particularly when you look at the trucking sector, there are two segments. One is the large trucks that carry a full trailer load of shipment that can be 25,000-30,000 pounds. And then there is the LTL, called less than truckload, where they handle 700,000, 800,000, 2,000 pound shipments by combining them in their terminal facilities in major cities and then move them across regions and the country. And that is the one which is probably got about 20-25% excess capacity. And as a result, there is aggressive pricing to fill the trucks. And in the process, most of them are not making the money that they need to sustain.
All right, so we've got a situation where pricing is weak. We don't have huge demand. Now bring in YRC worldwide, because can you explain how it got to the point where people are even thinking about bankruptcy? How did it get into this trouble?
Well, you know, this is YRC is a combination of three companies, at least the three large ones. Originally, it was Yellow Corporation that acquired Roadway, another competitor, and YRC was about a $2.5, $3 billion company. Then a union, they acquired Roadway, which was equal size, debt-free, and then that was in 2005-3, I believe, and then 2 years later, they acquired USF Freightways, which was another $2 billion regional trucking company, and what really happened is that in combining all these companies or not really combining certain features that they should have, and then the economy turned south, combination of that plus company-specific problems, they ended up in the situation where their debt burden from acquisitions turned out to be so onerous that they found the balance sheet out of sync.
YRC Worldwide, we're at the point where this added debt burden and the combination of these three major trucking companies really makes life very difficult for them.
That's right. And I think where they are at the present time is that over the last year or more, they have gone through significant restructuring. And if there is any company in the whole industry, which is a $30 billion industry, it was 32 or so in 2008. It will close 2009 at closer to 26 because of the shrinkage in the industry that has come. The YRC companies are the only ones that have taken capacity out. Everyone else has been adding capacity. So I particularly find that the industry has not been very disciplined in trying to manage its pricing, and the general approach by the industry and most of the carriers is that if YRC troubles put it out of business, then the industry problems go away. And there is no doubt the industry will get significant relief from a change like that. However, YRC over the last 9 months to a year has shown their ability with the various stakeholders to come through in a manner that this industry has never seen.
Let's talk about one of those stakeholders, for example. This is the Teamsters, right? Because just today, you know, president of the Teamsters, James Hoffa, asking the Securities and Exchange Commission, as well as the New York State Attorney General, Andrew Cuomo, to review what he calls questionable promotion of credit default swaps tied to YRC Worldwide. This would be investors that would profit if indeed YRC were to enter bankruptcy.
And, you know, Jimmy Hoffa has done some wonderful things for cooperating with the company and the employers that has never been seen from the unions in the LTL industry, at least, that I've been part of for 20-plus years. However, my view is that Jimmy Hoffa, with his clout as the leader of this powerful union, really will have more success that will be more timely to take his clout and go to the White House and ask for help in three things. One is that there is a multi-employer pension plan that is so outdated, needs to be put an end to, and all it does is takes a healthy company and make it sick. So when another sick company dies, then the healthy company that was there, that becomes sick, and then they end up looking for bankruptcy.
All right, so they got to do something on the pension plan.
And he can get that done through help from the White House, and that can be done fast. The second thing he can do is get help from the Treasury, because Yellow has been losing money in 08 and 09, and they will be entitled to a refund from the government for the money they paid in the past on the profits. And that we estimate there's a number of about $100 million. That can be expedited so that they get it in January and not have to wait till March. I think he could get some help in making that happen.
All right, so a refund on previously paid taxes.
Yes.
All right, so what's the third item?
The third item is that he can rally his union members to say, guys, you need to ask for the business from your customers. Every day you're at the customer dock, you have ability to be the best salesperson for the company, and don't, you know, feel shy about begging for that business.
Go after the business aggressively.
Yeah, and doesn't mean you got to give aggressive pricing. just keep asking for the business. And you had that business at one time, and you need to say, I'm working hard to save my job. Give me the chance. Give me that extra one shipment a week. And with 20, 25,000 employees and drivers, if they got one shipment a week, that would generate in a year $265 million in the bottom line.
Now,
so those are three things. He has a lot more influence and a lot faster than working up through the Attorney General's and SEC.
And the SEC. Satish, when you look at what is going on at YRC, trying to convince various bondholders to go along with the restructuring, do you think that they're going to be able to make that happen and avoid bankruptcy?
You know, my take is that, you know, these bondholders really are missing out, and they keep waiting till the last minute to see who's going to do what.
Right.
The bottom line is, if the company files for bankruptcy, then they will have nothing.
Right.
So why are they trying to, you know, play Russian roulette?
Well, we're going to have to find out. We don't have all the answers, but we're going to turn to Satish Jindal of SJ Consulting for more on the world of transportation. This is Taking Stock on Bloomberg. My guest is Satish Jindal, expert in the world of transport. He comes to us from SJ Consulting. Satish, a question, this coming really from a listener, Alan in Salt Lake City, wants to understand, you mentioned this whole idea of the pension having to do with YRC worldwide and the efforts perhaps that James Hoffa, the head of the Teamsters Union, might make to fix the problems with the pension fund. What would that entail?
Well, you know, what really has been happening is that the LTL industry for longest time until deregulation was a regulated industry. And as a result, there was strong presence of union. And about 15, 20 years ago, 75-80% of the industry was with union carriers managing the business, and about 20-25 non-union. And as these union carriers have gone out of business, those companies that have gone out of business, those pensions for those employees have been picked up by the taxpayer. That is the only way it has been working for the last 15-20 years. And as a result of this approach, you have had only two major union companies left now, YRC and ABF. And if YRC goes out and its 20,000-some employees who have pension will now be shifted over to the public pension fund that we have, then ABF is going to find itself in that situation. So it's not a question of, that the units are being bailed out by the White House and as such by the taxpayers. It's just that the changes in this industry are such that the pension plan changes didn't get made.
So is it maybe like a situation where it's the least bad of two bad options?
It is better than the other option, because then you'll only have more people joining that public bailout plan.
All right. I want to thank you very much, Satish Jindal, coming to us from SJ Consulting, giving us some insight into what is going on with YRC worldwide. They're still trying to get those bondholders to convert their debts. This is Taking Stock on Bloomberg. I'm Pim Fox.